This shiur is being given Parshas Vayechi, Tovshin Ein Vov, on Asura B'Teves, which is the yahrzeit of Rav Nosson Zal, the primary student of Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. We dedicate the shiur Li'ilui Nishmasoi. In this week's Parsha, we find that Yaakov Avinu is about to pass away, and the Pasuk says, Vayikach Eshnei Vonovimoi, Yosef HaTzadik took his two sons with him, and he brought them to receive a bracha from Yaakov Avinu. Rav Nosson Zal explains that when we talk about a person getting a bracha for health, a bracha for parnasa, the most important bracha is the Birkas HaSechel, the blessing for Das, because we know that the Torah tells us, Im Das Koniso Ma Chosarto. If a person has Das, what are they lacking? There's a pasuk Sikel Es Yodov, that when Yaakov Avinu was giving the bracha to Menashe and Ephraim, it says he switched his hands around. He put the right one by the left one, the left on the right. But the word Sikel is used, which is also Miloshen Sechel. And Rabbeinu Zal Likutei Moran actually mentions this, that this is the most important bracha. When a Jew gives a bracha to another Jew, to a child, the bracha is given by placing the hands on the head. A person would say, if we're giving parnosa, we should shake his hand. We want the money to go into his hands, not into his head. The money can't go into his brain. The answer is that the most important bracha is this Birkas HaSechel, because Rabbeinu Zal tells us that's the essence of a person. The essence of a person is their das. This is one of the main purposes of a person in this world, to acquire this das, to study Torah, and then to be able to pass that on to the next generation. And this is why we find that the Gemara makes a statement about Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov loy meis. Yaakov Avinu did not die. And the Gemara asks, but it tells us that they embalmed him and they warned him. And in fact, I believe it's Reb Shimshon Ostropolia says that we see this actually in a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Titein emes liyakov, that give truth to Yaakov Avinu. The words emes liyakov make up the words Yaakov loy meis. So the question is, what does it mean that he didn't die? It means that because of the fact that Yaakov Avinu was privileged, that all of his children were good observant Jews. Avram Avinu had a Yishmael, Yitzchok Avinu had an Esav. By Yaakov Avinu we're told that he had a Mito Shlema. All of his children followed in his ways. He was even privileged to pass it on to the grandchildren. This is why we can say about him this term, Loy Meis, that he's alive, he lives in his children, in his students, in those who continue the das that he shared with them. Shortly afterwards, Vayar Yisroel es b'nei Yosef, Yaakov Avinu, who is also called Yisroel, he saw the sons of Yosef, Vayomer mi'ele, and he said, who are these? So the Gemara tells us he saw not just what was in front of him. The Torah defines a chacham, ezehu chacham horoye sanoilad. Anybody sees what's in front of their face. A chacham, a truly intelligent person, sees the future. He sees what's up ahead. What's going to come from this? If I do such and such a thing now, what is it going to result in? What is it going to lead to? That's chachma. And Yaakov Avinu was certainly a chacham and a navi. So the Gemara tells us he saw Menashe and Ephraim, and he saw the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that were destined to come from them, and he saw major Rishoim, major wicked people. And this is why Yaakov Avinu said, Mi ele, who are these? Who are these people that you brought to me for a blessing? I should bless them? When I see that such major Rishoim are going to be coming from them? And Yosef HaTzadik's response was, Bonai Heim, they are my children, Asher Nosan Li Elohim Bozeh, which Hashem has given me, Bozeh, here in Egypt, with everything, in such a place of Tumah, and I was able to rescue, I was able to bring forth, to produce these two children, who even though you see that there are these major rishoim that are destined to come from them, but there's also definitely good in them. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that this was a debate between Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, and this is a debate that takes place between tzaddikim in all generations, because we know that one of the highest level achievements of a tzaddik is for him to have the ability to defend the Jewish people when they need to be defended, when we're not doing so well, when we're not behaving so well, and Hashem is angry at us and wants to destroy us. There are tzaddikim who, when they saw Hashem showing that attitude, their response to Hashem was, "Hashem, I'm with you." And they were punished severely for that. And they were reprimanded by Hashem. The Navi Hoshea, Eliyahu Navi. And here in our case, Yaakov Avinu, who's about to pass away, he's about to leave the world, and he's weak. He's in bed. And even Yaakov Avinu at that time was weak, in a sense, in being able to find the good points here. He saw negative, he saw major, major evil. And this is why he said, "Mi ele, who are these? They're not worthy of blessing." However, when Yosef HaTzadik responded to him and said, "These are my children who Hashem has blessed me with in this place," implying that I succeeded through incredible efforts to be able to produce this good, even though it's not perfect, but there's a lot of good here, Yaakov Avinu submitted. And Yaakov Avinu said, "Kochem no'elai v'avorechem. Bring them before me and I'll bless them," which he did. He did give them the bracha. And this is the attitude, this is the incredible emphasis that Rabbeinu Zal puts on this issue. We know that out of all the different shiurim that Rabbeinu Zal gave during his lifetime, there's one shiur about which Rabbeinu Zal said to his students, "Don't leave home without it. Make sure you have this in your pocket at all times." And this is chapter 282 in Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this point about searching for and finding the good in everyone. Even somebody who could be classified as a Rasha Gomor, a complete Rasha, it's our mission to be able to search and search until we identify a good point, and then search and find another good point until we're able to make a song out of it, to be able to sing the praises of this person. A song is made out of tiny little notes, little dots. To be able to put those dots together and make a song. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Azamra lalikai bioidi." It's with these words that Rabbeinu Zal closed the first half of Likutei Moran, and it's with these words that Rav Nosson Zal chose to open to begin his sefer Likutei Halachos, whereby the opening shot, the opening chapter of Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Birkas HaShachar, where Rav Nosson Zal explains about a Jew getting up in the morning. And Rav Nosson Zal shows there in an incredibly beautiful way how in order to be able to get up in the morning, in order for a person to be able to pull himself out of the darkness of night and the deathly throes of sleep, the Gemara identifies sleep as 1/60th of death. So when a person is lying there, coming out of the darkness, coming out of this taste of death, and they want to pick themselves up, Rav Nosson Zal emphasized the only way a person is going to be able to do that is if they're able to identify and recognize the good points in themselves. When a person looks at themselves as being all bad, or they look at their situation as being all bad, then the person has no reason to get out of bed. It's more convenient to die. But if a person is able to look for and recognize the good in themselves, the good in everybody around them, the good in their situation, that gives a person the motivation and the energy, the fire, to get started and to make a powerful start in the day. And Rav Nosson Zal goes on to show there how all the brachas that we say in the morning, Sheloya Sani Goy, are all tied into this concept. For those that can, it's an incredible privilege to study the entire Likutei Halachos, but at least to get started, to do that first chapter, which really brings out the beauty in this concept. Now, shortly afterwards in the parsha, Yaakov Avinu summons all of his children and he says to them, Heyosfu, gather around me, Va'agid olechem, and I'm going to reveal to you the coming of Moshiach. And the Gemara tells us in Psachim, page 56, that Yaakov Avinu actually wanted to reveal to them the coming of Moshiach, but the Shechina, the divine spirit of Hashem, left him. So Yaakov Avinu's initial response was, Shemo yesh psul b'mitosi, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I thought all of my kids were perfect, and therefore we have the perfect formula that's needed to reveal Moshiach, but maybe they're not. And the Gemara says, immediately all of them sprang forth and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They declared their unanimous faith in Hashem. And they said, just like in your heart, Yaakov Avinu, there's only one Hashem, so too our hearts are whole also. Our hearts are not divided. The Torah uses the term cholak libam, that sometimes when a person is not sure about something, there's this split, a split decision or a split in the person's mind. They're not sure, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. But they said, by us, there's no split. There's unity, there's the unity of Hashem, and we're all united in this complete faith in Hashem. So as soon as they said those words, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu responded, Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusa Elyoylam Voed. Blessed is the name of the glory of the kingdom of Hashem eternally. Now the Gemara points out something very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, in Dvorim, Chumash Dvorim, writes the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but he did not write the words Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Olam Voed. That does not appear in the Chumash. Yaakov Avinu did say it. Yaakov Avinu said those words, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. What should we do? Our tradition, our heritage, comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, Rav Nosson Zal tells us, all the information that we have about Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, is all from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that being the case, if Moshe Rabbeinu chose not to include this in the Torah, maybe we shouldn't say it either. And on the other hand, Yaakov Avinu did say it. So the Gemara says, we compromise. We say it silently. We recite the words Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elohim Voed completely silent, with the exception of one day a year on Yom Kippur. That's the one day that we say it out loud. And the Gemara gives reasons for that. Now, Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos asks, what's going on here? Why did Yaakov Avinu say it? And why particularly, specifically at this point in time? And why did Moshe Rabbeinu leave it out? And Rav Nosson Zal explains, because this is actually the secret of the coming of Moshiach. We know that all the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus tell us that in the Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that first sentence is called Yichuda Ilah. It's the highest declaration of the unity of Hashem. It's a very, very high spiritual level, which refers to the top of the top, the oneness of Hashem. The next sentence, Baruch Shem Kivot Malchuso, blessed is the kingdom of Hashem, that's reaching all the way down to the bottom. That's telling us, that's declaring the kingdom of Hashem, which we know is everywhere. It's not just up there. The Pasuk says, Umalchusoi Bakoil Moshalo. Hashem's kingdom rules over everyone, Jew, non-Jew. Hashem's kingdom is everywhere. So that the Shema is referring to the upper, the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed is referring to the lower, lowest levels. Yaakov Avinu, when he saw that the Shechina left him, despite the fact that there was this gathering of tzaddikim, this gathering of Yaakov Avinu and his 12 sons and his grandchildren, who are the greatest tzaddikim, the leaders of the generation, the holiest tzaddikim, and he saw that the Shechina left him, he realized that there's a secret here, that in order for the Moshiach to be able to come, it's not going to be enough to have the Yichud Eilah. It's not going to be enough to have very holy religious people. It's going to require reaching down and out, reaching out to the furthest levels to be able to bring people back in tshuva, and to be able to reach even further than that, to reach out of the ballpark, to go out of the ballpark of the Jewish nation, and to reach out into the other nations. The Gemara says one of the main reasons why the Jews are in exile is so that Gerim should be able to come and join us. Even though we do not proselytize, we don't encourage this, but it's a reality. It's a major reality that throughout the time that we are in exile, and as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, this is happening more and more. There's a stronger tshuva movement, and there's more and more converts that are discovering the falseness and the contradictions in the other religions and in their denial of Hashem, and coming and joining the Jewish people. This is why Yaakov Avinu made that declaration specifically at that time. Because even though he wasn't permitted to reveal openly the coming of Moshiach, he hid it in these words. He hid this message to us to know that, look, here you have the greatest assemblage of tzaddikim. Yaakov Avinu is called Bechir Shebavos. Avram Avinu was great. Yitzchok Avinu was great. Yaakov Avinu was greater. He's called the greatest of the three. He's the combination of all the qualities of Avram and Yitzchok. And all of his children are winners. And despite that, he was shown that that's not enough. And therefore, he revealed this message to us, that in order for the Moshiach to be able to come, it's going to require every single one of us, and those that perceive themselves as being far away from Hashem, they're the most important ones, that have to make every effort possible to come close to Hashem, and to encourage others to come close to Hashem, and make it viable, make it possible for them to come close to Hashem. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu put this in the Torah? Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu write this in the Torah? The answer is because it's a secret. Because this is not something that can be stated publicly. Because again, if the other nations are aware that it's the... Or if people that are far... If the Yetzer Hara knows that this is our mission, that this is what we're trying to do, he's going to put more effort, Herculean efforts, to block this. So on one hand, this has to be done very carefully, very delicately, secretly, not with major rash. There are times that people try to do this, to publicize this, and it detracts from the success, from the real success. Sometimes it looks as if they're being successful, but it's not necessarily the case. Whereas this service of Hashem, this most important of Avodah, of outreach, which requires taking people who are far from Hashem and bringing them close, this secret, this is the secret of the coming of Moshiach, and this is why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't include it. And again, the compromise that we say these words quietly, number one, where it shows we recognize, we're aware of this, but we know that this is something that has to be done quietly, low profile, without a lot of noise. We know, for example, there was a time that there were millions of Jews that were being held captive behind the Iron Curtain by the communist Russian regime. And there was a major discussion and disagreement among leaders in Klal Yisrael at the time, whether there should be vocal protests in front of the United Nations, in the newspapers, everywhere to publicize this, and that's the way we're going to get these Jews out? Or is it about trying to work secretly, quietly, behind the Iron Curtain, to be able to keep this candle burning, to be able to try to sneak in religious books and people who could keep the flame going for these Jews in there, while this iron fist of the Russians closed all schools and all shuls and forbid the printing, publishing of all books? And there were different approaches that were taken at the time. But we know for sure that the fact that there are thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of Russian Jews today who are religious and who eventually did come out of Russia. And even in Russia today, we have Russia in the communist bloc of countries, in Ukraine and these countries, we have places where there are kehilos, there are Jewish communities today with Sifrei Torah, with schools. It doesn't compare to what's taking place in other countries. However, even in those places, some of this activity that was done quietly and secretly by the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichron Evrocha, Rav Pinchas Tait Zichron Evrocha, the Breslov Hasidim, there were many different people that went about this in trying to keep this flame alive secretly. Baruch Hashem, today we have thousands of families that are in the forefront of Yiddishkeit as a result of these efforts. The Gemara says that this could be compared to a mushel of a princess who enjoys eating a certain kind of food. She likes this food tremendously. You would say the equivalent of, let's say, something like pizza or falafel today. But yet to bring a slice of pizza or a falafel to a princess in a palace, the exact opposite of royalty and regalness. So the Gemara says, what do we do here? And the Gemara says, this is the concept of this secret, of how from these people who are furthest away, that even though we have tzaddikim, we have very religious people, we have people who are studying Torah day and night, but the real bang in heaven, the real thing, the real game changer that's going to bring about the coming of Moshiach is specifically people who are far from Hashem. And in many cases, those who are the furthest away from Hashem, when those people are zeicha to come back or to make an effort to come back, sometimes the slightest move by them can make a bigger bang, can be more pleasing to Hashem than major, major efforts on the part of others who were raised religious their whole lives. And Rav Nosson Zal points out, we know that on one hand, this is a dangerous mission. We know that even Moshe Rabbeinu, in trying to be Mekarev the heir of Rav, was told that there were mistakes made. And this caused tremendous harm to the Jewish people. But this, to the point where that was played a major role in Moshe Rabbeinu's passing away, leaving the world without succeeding in bringing the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, without completing everything he wanted to do. However, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is found in every single generation. And Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation, including ours, is trying to rectify this, is trying to rectify the mistake with the Erev Rav, and trying to work at bringing close those who deserve to be brought close, those who can be brought close, whose coming close will not only want to harm the Jewish people, but on the contrary, that's what's going to close the deal. That's what's going to really complete what needs to be completed in order to bring about the coming of Moshiach. Also tied into this same topic of Yaakov Avinu, who's trying to reveal the coming of Moshiach, and the Shekhinah leaves him. The Gemara tells us that the city of Yerushalayim was destroyed. Today is Asura B'Teves. Today is the day when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege on the city of Yerushalayim, which ended up being destroyed together with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that the city of Yerushalayim was not destroyed until there were no longer any people there who had emunah, who had real faith. And we know that real faith includes faith in Hashem and faith in tzaddikim. The Torah tells us in Eicha that one of the main things that brought about the Churban was the disrespect, the fact that the Jews insulted Malachi Elikim, heavenly angels, which is a nickname for the tzaddikim at that time. And Rabbi Nizal tells us that the coming of Moshiach, the grand finale, is dependent on Eitza Shlema, perfect advice, coming to a point where we really know and understand what's right, the right direction, the right thing to do. And in fact, one of the nicknames of Moshiach is called Pele Yoyetz, the wondrous advisor. We find that when the Torah speaks about Hashem making the decision to have the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, to have the Jewish people exiled, the Pasuk says, Ki Hashem Tzevokois Yo'atz. Hashem came up with this idea, with this advice, this decision, Umi Yofer. And who has the ability to refute it, to push it aside? So we see that the decision on the part of Hashem to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, to exile the Jewish people, is called Eitzel, Hashem Tzevokois Yo'atz. And this is why even Yaakov Avinu, when he wanted to try to bring about the Geula, and he was looking to reveal the Eitzel, what's needed to be able to do this, he said to his children, Hikovtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. He said to them, gather together. Hikovtzu, gather together and listen. The first time he said, Heyosfu, right before that he says, Heyosfu, gather together, and I'll reveal to you the coming of Moshiach. The Shechina leaves him, and then he says, Hikovtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Rav Nosson Zal explains the difference between Asifa and Kibbutz. The term asifa is used when you have people who are close to each other and they decide to make a meeting. People living in the same building, an asifat dayarim it's called. A meeting of the residents of a particular building, that's called an asifa. When you're making a gathering, a national convention or something like that, we don't call that an asifa, that's called a kibbutz, a gathering together of people who are coming from far places. Yaakov Avinu was shown and realized that the destruction, the churban, is referred to as chalukas ha'etzer. When a person has a clear direction, when people have a clear direction, they're going, it's called one direction, we're all going in the same direction. Confusion, the term confusion or lack of direction, is when people are all over the place. This one's going this way, this one's going that way. Nobody knows which direction to go in. We know that the Jewish people and the Torah are considered one. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Kutshe Barichu v'Yisroel v'Yiraiso Chatu. The Torah is referred to as Eitzos, advice, the 613 pieces of advice of Hashem. The direction of the Torah, the unity of the Torah, being able to know exactly what the Torah is telling us, to get clear direction from the Torah, is dependent on the unity in Klal Yisrael. And the fact that we find ourselves today in Golos, today that we don't have this unity, this is obviously the reason also why there's so much unclarity in the Torah. Many halachas in the Torah, one rabbi says you're allowed, another rabbi says you're not allowed. We have this in the Gemara, we have this in the Shulchan Aruch, we have it even in the latest, in today's rabbis, today's poskim, that you have major issues. The Chazon Ish says like this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says like that, disagreeing on many, many different points. What's the solution for this? The solution is what Yaakov Avinu told his children, that if the Jewish people will unite, if there'll be this Heyosfu, and if there'll be especially this Hikovtzu, the more that we can bring about a greater degree of unity among Klal Yisrael, the more we'll be able to bring about a unity in the Torah, that there won't be this divide, this division in the Torah, this machlokes, where everything is unclear and we don't know which way to go. Even a person who's learning halacha has to struggle very, very hard to be able to come to a clear decision, a final decision of which way to go in. And this is the message that Yaakov Avinu delivered to his children in this Hikovtzu v'shimu, and he says, B'nei Yaakov, Hikovtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, v'shimu el Yisroel avichem. Why is he mentioning both of his names? The word Yaakov is Ekev. Ekev means the heel of the shoe, the heel of the foot, the bottom of the bottom. The word Yisroel has the word Roish in it, Li Roish, the top of the top. Yaakov Avinu was making it clear that in order for this to happen, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to just have Roshim, to have leaders, to have Talmidei Chachamim, people who are learning, strong, powerful. That's not going to be enough to make it happen. That's critical. It's extremely important because without them, we have no direction at all. But it's going to require Hikovtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov v'shimu el Yisrael avichem. The b'nei Yaakov, those who are Ekev, those who are on the bottom, way down there, they're also going to have to gather together. They're also going to have to come together and unite and come to the tzaddikim, come to the leaders for direction. And then this mission will complete it. Then this exile will come to an end. And Rav Nosson Zal says this concept of Eitzah, this concept of having clear direction, knowing what the right thing to do is, there are many people who are quick to offer advice. There are many people who say, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this. This is, I know what you should be doing. And Rav Nosson Zal says, take a look at David HaMelech, one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time. He says in Tehillim, he says to Hashem, Ad ono oshis eitzaitz benafshi. Hashem, how long am I going to be struggling to figure out what the right thing to do is, to come up with the right eitzah? This is David HaMelech, one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time, who understood that to be zoche to the right eitzah is something that takes yishuv adas. It takes thinking things in carefully, slowly. It's not chaplap. It's not something that a person does in a rush. And when people rush, they make major mistakes. And this is why at this point, Yaakov Avinu starts blessing his children. And the first one, Reuven, he doesn't bless him, he reprimands him. Pachas kamayim al toisar. Pachas chipozoin. You were quick, like water flowing quickly. You were quick to make a decision. You were quick to think that you knew better than me. When your mother passed away, when Leah passed away, and I chose to move Bilhah's bed into my tent instead of your mother's, you looked at this and you concluded that this was not the right thing to do, and you switched the beds. And the Torah says, because of this, Reuven was punished. He forfeited the birthright. He lost the Bechira. Because of Pachas. Pachas means chipazon, jumping quickly. The next two, Shimon and Levi, Yaakov Avinu reprimands them. Besoidom al tovoy nafshi. I don't want to be part of their meetings. I don't want to be part of their gatherings. Because at their gatherings, they're quick to pull the trigger. They made a decision, rescue our daughter, wipe out Shechem. And this endangered the whole future of Klal Yisrael, chas v'shalom. This could have brought the whole world. This could have brought a world war at the time. And Yaakov Avinu reprimands them also. When he comes to Yehuda, there he says, Yehuda, ato yoiducho achecho. You are the one who is most praiseworthy of all your brothers. Why? Yoiducho. Because you were the one who, when you made a mistake, something that was perceived as a mistake, you were capable of stepping forward, thinking it over, having a yishuv adas, realizing, knowing what the right, coming to the right decision, what's the right thing to do. Yehuda could have kept quiet, Tamar would have been burned at the stake, nobody would have known it. But Yehuda had a yishuv adas, and he came up with the right eitzah. The right eitzah was to confess, which he did publicly at the time. He came before the Beis Din at that time, Yitzchak Avinu was there, Avram Avinu was there, Shem Vever were there. He had to come before these giants, these great tzaddikim, and confess his sin. And he did it. And because of this, The Torah says he's the one who credited, in his credit, Reuven ended up confessing also. His confession is credited to Yehuda. And because of this, Yehuda was zecha to have Moshiach, Moshiach ben David, come from him, who is the ultimate in Eitz HaToiva. As Yaakov Avinu says there, Yishtachavu lecha b'nei avicha. All of your brothers are going to bow to you. They're all going to accept your kingdom. Your kingdom, the kingdom of King David, will be reunited. There was a split that took place after Shlomo HaMelech. And it says, Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechokik mei bein raglov. There'll be no more split. Ad ki yavoi Shiloi, until Shiloi will come. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Shiloi is Moshiach. Shiloi is Moshiach. And Shiloi is Begematria Moshe. And then the Jews will be zoicha to Pele Yoyetz. Moshiach, who is called Pele Yoyetz, will be zoicha to be to the clear, clear direction. One direction, one king, united under one king, under one Hashem, to be able to serve Hashem in the best way possible. Hashem should help. We should be zoicha. Rav Nosson Zal, in his writings, number one, he himself was the ultimate example of a student of a tzaddik who was able to accept completely the guidance, the clear guidance of his rabbi, and be able to pass it on to his family, to his students, and for generations, to make it available to us in his forum. And one of the things that he encouraged most was this unity, which all the tzaddikim, we find this by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who told his students that our success is dependent on chavivusa, on the love between us. The Arizal, who told it to his students, and Rav Nosson Zal, who passed on this message in his forum, that to the degree that we'll be able to eliminate, to avoid machloikis, and to be able to see the good in each other, to that degree we'll be zeicha to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the Lashon Haba b'Yerushalayim Habnuya, with the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Meir Yameinu, Amen v'Amen. Amen.